I was under the impression that we were going to do the show dressed up.
Well, that makes at least one of us.
All right. I misunderstood. I just misunderstood.
It is our end of the year show here on Pro Wrestling Cast, divided into two parts. We will be talking about all the news that has surrounded professional wrestling over this past year. In the second part of the program, we're going to reconvene. We're going to give the Pro Wrestling Cast Awards of 2016. Last year was an awesome show. It was our show of big growth. And now we will be sharing some of our hits and misses and some of our favorites from this past year, this calendar year, if you will. Don't forget, folks, it is a holiday season, and it is also good to give as it is to receive, if you will. And when I'm saying give, I mean that when you're shopping for yourself or your loved ones this holiday season, please don't forget to check out ProWrestlingCast.com. We do have our links to Amazon there. We have our links to High Spots, WWE Shop, WWE Network. Did I mention High Spots? And we also have some other shopping links there for Fandango for all the holiday movies you're going to be watching with you and yours. You can make Pro Wrestling Cast your one-stop shop. All you have to do before you even go shopping and cyber shopping, if you will, is bookmark ProWrestlingCast.com. All of the links are there in forms of our banners. They're on the side. Very easy to navigate and very easy to show your support for the show that brings you all this great content. And get this. You can also check out our entire archive of videos and audio podcasts on demand at ProWrestlingCast.com. You can talk, you can listen to Steven and I talk about classic rock, fashion, music, and most importantly, professional wrestling. Steven, you're looking pretty good tonight.
Well, you know, I was under the impression it was a real award show. I remember last year's show, and we were dressed very casually. And
now look at me. I'm just sitting here in my Nashville Predators t-shirt. So,
well, I actually feel overdressed, if you will.
If you will.
but I am excited to hand out the awards, the award for Wrestler of the Year. Excuse me. The award for, MVP of the Year. Mm-hmm. And award for Best White Wrestler of the Year, which is a WWE, a WWE related award we hand to. And I understand Roman Reigns is pretty high in the running for that. Is that accurate?
I tell you what, let's just go ahead and play the intro of the show.
Okay.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Yeah.
see, because he's a Samoan. So, but you see, WWE is really focused towards, you know, and then Japanese wrestlers are by far the best. So that's the joke.
It's been a crazy year. We have a WWE Hall of Famer that has been elected to the highest office of the land. And now we are talking
about Junkyard Dog.
Junkyard Dog is the president-elect of the United States. And then now we have here the year-end show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Pro Wrestling Cast there at ProWrestlingCast.com. I am one of your co-hosts, Al John Go. I am Asian, not Samoan, not Mexican, not Japanese. I am Chinese-Filipino and dang proud of it. Also lifelong wrestling fan, broadcaster, joined by the illustrious co-host, the wrestling heel commentator and wrestling historian, Mr. Cassette Tapes, Mr. Tape Cassettes, Mr. Stephen St., also known as Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
The cassette tapes project is going swimmingly. Thank you very much. I've already interviewed several very young millennial aged producers.
Is that right?
They seem very confused as to, just what it is I'm trying to, what it really is I'm trying to do. They have not heard of the band Bathory or Burzum.
Wow. You know, there is so much they can learn from you, Stephen. And
they said that at the end of talking to them. A lot of them said that.
Okay. So it's been a long process for you to try to get this project going with the proper producer.
Right. Well, I haven't actually recorded anything, but I certainly have a lot of ideas, and
still in the concept phase.
Yeah, and we are going to be going down by the pond. Your lovely wife came down by the pond once a couple of summers ago with Terry and I, and
there you go.
And we're going to record the geese.
Oh, that's good. So you're going to have some real Foley, not Mick Foley, but Foley action from a Foley sound artist's point of view.
You know, apparently Mick Foley weighs the same as I do now. That's creeping me out.
Really? No.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight. I'm going to give something away to the audience. I weighed 262 during the summer, and I'm down to 237. I can't believe I got, but Mick Foley said he weighed 237 today on Twitter.
No.
I'm dead serious.
That's crazy. Well,
I don't know how he did it. Yeah, that's
well. He must be. I know that he's been doing DDP yoga.
DDP is like a godsend for these guys. My God, I tell you, geez, Louise.
You know, I got DDP yoga and I fell out of it, but I need to get back into it because I was at my best when I was doing it. So, I'll give you that. Now, you're interested in DDP yoga? I'm sure you could find that link somewhere on our Amazon.
I'm sure it's up there somewhere. And please go see go to your Netflix and watch the Resurrection of Jagged Snake, which is pretty much an all DDP yoga movie. Yeah, that's really all it is. But it's good.
It's the biggest endorsement for that program, if anything. And I think it's really cool. So we have a huge year to go over, and we're going to go hit some of our highlights right now in part one of our year-end program. Steve. Steven, the news just came out.
Yes.
Just days ago about Linda McMahon, and it's probably one of the biggest news stories to have hit. Linda McMahon being appointed into the cabinet of our president-elect. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, the president-elect received a donation of, I believe it was $6 million this year from the McMahons. And I think that was probably enough, if you don't mind me overstepping my bounds, to buy her a post, because she's been attempting to get into the
political realm.
Let's see. So in Connecticut, she ran for the Senate and she lost to the Democrat. She ran as a Republican. She lost to the Democratic incumbent. I forget his name. I think she ran in 2000 and I want to say it was 8 in 2012, and she lost. I might be 2 years off on that because, you know, I get a little But, you know, she lost both times. She did fairly well. She lost like maybe 40, 60. But, no, really, it wasn't very close in Connecticut's. I don't really know a lot about Connecticut. It usually votes Democrat for president, but that really doesn't mean anything. Well, anyway, you know, Linda is well known in Connecticut.
Well, here's the history in brief. McMahon left the WWE in 2009 to run as a Republican for the seat in the Senate for Connecticut. As he said, lost the Democratic Party. And then in the general election of 2010, and then again, McMahon was the 2012 Republican nominee for Connecticut's other state seat, replacing retiring Senator Joe Lieberman, and lost again. And of course, now we're here, December 7th, his intention was to bring Linda McMahon up to the administrator of small business, when he takes office. So.
Right. Now.
How about that?
Well, you know, Jess McMahon was a promoter a long time ago. His son, Vince McMahon Sr., became a very successful promoter. When he split off from the NWA to form the WWWF with Toots Mond and, another person that escapes me. And their first champion was Buddy Rogers. And they, you know, they went all around and, you know, eventually, you know, superstar Billy Graham, Bob Backlund, you know, all of it, all the way to Hogan. And then Vince McMahon Jr. is when that took over. So to say that Linda McMahon knows anything about running a small business is ridiculous. I mean, she's the husband of a third generation promoter of a business that quite frankly is 100 years old and a gigantic business. He's, you know, at times been at the $1 billion mark. I think it was appraised at $1.2 billion earlier this year when UFC was appraised at $4.5 billion, which it was sold for. So yeah, I think this is just a, look, these guys have been buddies for a long time. You know, the Trump Plaza is where the relationship seems to start. The brilliant WrestleMania, the sort of bad WrestleMania 4 and the brilliant WrestleMania 5, which had the Macho Man Hogan match. And they sort of built it up between those two WrestleManias. That was perhaps her best angle. Would you not agree? Macho Man, jealous Hogan trying to steal his girl thing.
I think, that is probably one of the most resounding angles of all time.
Right. And if you remember those main events, Donald Trump was front and center on display. And then of course we know he later on went into the main event of WrestleMania. So let's see, what was WrestleMania 2007? Was that WrestleMania 24 or 5? And, you know, Umaga against Bobby Lashley, two guys that really did a lot with that push. But, that's not nice. Umaga's passed away. He was a great wrestler, by the way. It's really sad that that ended. Bobby, you know, he's more of a Strikeforce TNA kind of guy, but,
WrestleMania 23? Yes.
I thought it was 24. Cause, okay, let's see. WrestleMania 20 is in 2004. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2, 3 years later. Okay. So WrestleMania 23, that's accurate. And, that remains the most profitable WrestleMania as far as pay-per-view buys. They later would say, well, you know, the more recent network era ones had 1.3 million people watching, but they just based that on the fact that that's how many subscribers they have. I don't know how many people actually watched it. It certainly garnered an incredible amount of revenue because I think it was $59 or $49 at the least to buy the pay-per-view that particular year. And, you know, Mr. Trump was, president. Excuse me. I don't want to be, I don't want something to happen to me. I don't want to be put in one of the camps, but, I believe, it's just a rumor, but, I believe the president, garnered an incredible amount of interest. And, you know, that's the biggest drawing WrestleMania ever per pay-per-view. And he did shave Vince McMahon's head and it was a really well done angle. Yeah. You know, and Trump actually did some physical stuff. I believe he got a stunner.
He took a stunner.
A terrible looking stunner. Only overshadowed by Linda's bad stunners.
Well, Linda's had a lot of bad stunners. But Trump took one and it's hilarious because I think Steve Austin actually recounted that entire affair in one of his podcasts over the past year.
Really?
And in it, he said, Donald and he took care of some business backstage. He just said, can you take a stunner? And Trump said, yeah, man, go for it. This is how we do it. And he said, okay, you got it. I got this.
He's
and
cool.
And he did it. And he pulled it on Donald Trump, and bam, there you go. And the rest is, I dare say, is history. So
What divas were around that at that time? I'm trying to figure out who he could have grabbed by the pussy backstage.
Oh no, no,
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh no,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be vulgar and say things that the president-elect said.
Okay,
sorry.
Let's move on.
Probably Maria Kanellis. So if you think about it,
the miracle. Let's move on. So so anyway, Linda, that's huge.
Well, well, hold on. Before we move on, it's huge, Y-U-G-E. Listen, this is what's crazy. This is what's crazy. Hold on. My cat's going to try to scratch that. Don't let him scratch that. It'll make too much noise. This is what's crazy, okay? I'm talking like the president. Hey, don't let the cat do that. It's going to make too much noise, for real. So what's weird is Vince McMahon's in the White House. Do you understand that? Like where the senators and the House of Representatives are? Vince McMahon is there. His wife is there. I know it's Linda, but he is there. He gave him that. He is there.
You know, this whole situation is interesting because when this happened, I think he texted me and said, McMahon's in the White House. He sent me that text, the picture of that. And I said, wouldn't it be interesting if Vince were to take up residence there in Washington and leave the company? Now he's going to support his wife and their political machinations, whatever it is, and then the McMahons are left. Stephanie and Triple H are left to run the rest of the business, as it were.
Well, I don't know about that, but don't even dream about there being an issue with anything they do in their business for a while. Don't you even think that somebody's going to come up and say, hey, these are independent contractors. We need to change the way you do things. Hey, we need a union involved for these wrestlers. Hey, these wrestlers need to be covered with, you know, healthcare, not just provided under your umbrella one, but an individual one like a employer. None of that will be happening. You know, that's what this means. And look, to the winner goes the spoils. That's the way this works. You know, democracy is an ever evolving, ever moving bridge from left to right, as Karl Marx once said. But the fact of the matter is, Vince McMahon's in the White House, and you need to run.
So that is huge news. It's huge. So that is definitely one of the biggest stories of this year. Another big story that had broke even recently, also dealing with McMahon's, as we talk about this year in professional wrestling, is a very interesting article that was posted about Shane McMahon. Now, this is relatively recent. And according to this post I'm reading, Shane McMahon reportedly tried to return to WWE years ago, and Triple H instead of McMahon's reaction to it. And it was an interesting feature by Ian French, Frisch of Vice Sports. Have you seen this article? Have you read this article?
I read this article and I was really taken by how much information he got that was actually pretty inside. They're typically always, you know, kind of a fluff piece.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was totally well research, that's what I'm trying to look for.
It would seem like it. I mean, there's a lot of inside things that are posted in here, and I don't know Vice Sports. I'm not familiar with reading that that site.
Well,
but this is interesting. I mean, go ahead.
What's interesting is they actually took the business seriously, and I think that's what a lot of people do wrong. And what people go like, I don't like Dave Meltzer, I don't like what he says, I don't like what he predicts. Dave Meltzer is a journalist that actually takes wrestling seriously. That's what he actually is.
As a business.
Correct. And his business does really good, as far as I can tell. But I think people don't, you know, ESPN's definitely a culprit. Bleacher Report, I've seen. You know, they don't really delve into anything. Like, well, Brock Lesnar got a huge pop, and he's riding Goldberg, and Goldberg's back. It's big news. That's really all they do.
Yeah, it's a certain level of wrestling journalism that takes place, you know, from skimming the surface to several layers underneath. However, this one is pretty deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is this is kind of like that whole, you know, Phil Donahue level of deepness, you know?
So. He actually filled in some of the blanks of when Shane originally came back and they set up the Hell in the Cell match. But no matter how we want to look at it, when that happened, we were all excited. Remember, everybody's like, whoa, there's a Hell in the Cell with Shane and Undertaker. Right. You know, no matter what the match was or whatever, right, that was cool when it happened. And then setting that up, Meltzer, the California liberal, you know, kind of espoused all this, like, hey, there's some truth to this, there's some truth to that. You know, and that's really interesting because he filled in these blanks about Shane. When did he try to come back? 2012, was it?
Right.
You know, very interesting. And Stephanie really did seem to, you know, push him out. And, she's a better, like, she doesn't really head creative. Like, she's just.
That's her title, though.
She's a go-between, you know, Vince McMahon's going to tell you what's happening in his business. That's why I think it's a little odd that he'd end up in D.C. with Linda all the time.
Right. Well, here's the thing. So this comes from to us from Vice Sports. And this particular one, as I mentioned, discussed Shane McMahon's WWE departure and the secret meeting he had with Vince McMahon years later in 2012. It was noted that Shane left WWE in 2009 because of a real life power struggle with Vince and Stephanie, with a senior level executive saying, quote, there was always tension between Shane and Stephanie. Who could that senior level executive be? Could it be Kevin Dunn, perhaps?
Kevin Dunn's the highest ranking guy I can think of.
And I think that Kevin Dunn has been known to really enjoy working with Shane.
But here,
and in this article, it was revealed that when Shane met Vince at WWE's office in Stamford, which is different than the WWE headquarters, that Triple H, who has yet to appear with Shane on WWE television since his return last February, was working to launch NXT, and Vince was reportedly stressed because ratings were down. And when Stephanie found out Shane was going to be at that secret meeting, she went white in the face, and Paul freaked out, Paul being Triple H. Shane was at the meeting with his friend James Frye, who was a CEO of Full Fathom 5. Shane said that he wanted to take over creative and the writer's room, which he does have experience in creative trying to get things, albeit a lot of his suggestions have been reportedly turned down because they were, quote unquote, too ahead of their time or outlandish.
Okay. I heard they were bizarre, actually. I just heard they were weird ideas.
Right. So that's a very political statement that I just put out there. So while Fry and the Full Fathom 5 team would serve as consultants, the meeting was set up through WWE Executive Vice President of Production Kevin Dunn, who is very close to Shane, this source says, and there's tremendous tension between Kevin, Paul, and Stephanie. They feel like the company is theirs, but they don't have the power to control Kevin, who we discussed several podcasts ago, that Kevin has a tremendous ownership stake in WWE.
He might be number two in some ways.
Right. It was noted that Dunn would have even more influence with Shane, with Vince, if Shane was back into the company into a top level position, and Shane would also be back in control of a key piece of the family's legacy. Vince ultimately turned down Shane's offer. Could this be part of the quote unquote storyline when he came back, and what's in the box and all that other stuff that they apparently had dropped?
They dropped the lock box, the three lock box. Do you remember, Al John? That's a Sammy Hagar. That is a Sammy Hagar joke. That is an incredibly awesome Sammy Hagar joke that I pulled out of my hat.
We're going to put that in post.
Okay, so three
lock box.
You can't believe, you literally can't believe I pulled that off. And that's okay. I'm much older than I seem. Let's just put it that way.
All right, classic rock like that is so good.
He's a great singer. Let's not do this again. Gary Sharon is not a good singer. I just wanted to end a Van Halen talk with that. What were we talking about? The lockbox, they just completely dropped the angle. Mm-hmm. Shane did the job, which, you know, people say The Undertaker said it was his last match and all this. That doesn't add up to me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't add up to me. I don't know if I ever believed that. I think he might have just told people or been angry or maybe people, I don't know. But I do think that Shane had a storyline in place for Shane with the the lockbox, and they completely dropped it. Because he said, well, you lost, forget about the lockbox. Okay. What was that? By the way, he's like, oh, can you beat The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match? Sure can. Well, why would you think that? Why would you be able to beat The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell match? I mean, he's pretty good at them, right? And he's, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the article, that passage you read is particularly juicy. And, you know, we usually get a lot of our information from Sean Radican, Wade Keller, David Meltzer, Brian Alvarez. But, it's really interesting to read that. And I'm kind of wondering how he got all that info. Maybe they leaked it themselves to set up a further storyline. I don't know. There's a lot of ways to look at it.
Yeah, it is a very telling article. And, if you want to check it out, please do. It's Vice Sports, under this website, sports.vice.com. I believe it's a European website. Having said that, Daniel and I get home. The article is called Breaking Kayfabe, an inside look at WWE's unlikely business empire.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating article. Please seek it out. Please check it out. And I think it's, it's a pretty lengthy read, so make sure that, you read it right before bedtime with your hot cocoa as you listen to this podcast. So,
it's the only thing I would put on par with Meltzer's level of, not so much journalism, but just like, Meltzer's level of insight into insider stuff. It really got some info on that.
Right. So the McMahons making headlines, making news. That was an interesting part of this year, 2016. The McMahons in the headlines, Shane McMahon's return to WWE programming and saving quote unquote WrestleMania. I don't know if that necessarily was the case.
I think he did.
In hindsight.
I think he did. Because if you look at the numbers, Al John, he moved a lot of tickets. Now there's no way to really get a chart of when tickets were selling, but I was reading The Observer every week. And when that thing, remember I said, I don't know how they're going to get 85. When they started that angle, they added about 30 or 40,000. I don't care what anybody says. It moved tickets. It really did.
So, well, we have that. There was a lot of interplay back and forth leading up to Shane coming back to the inevitable draft that happened following. It did set up a lot of interesting storylines for sure. One thing that I did not like was the fact that Shane didn't even sell his dive off Hell in a Cell with The Undertaker the following Monday night at Raw. He just came back out. And then, the stipulation of him, you know, losing any type of stake in the future of the company was completely abandoned because Undertaker reportedly did not want to do the job to a returning Shane McMahon, who hadn't been in a wrestling ring in WWE for, what, 12 years? Of that nature?
I think he'd been in there in 2009 or 8.
Okay. Well, okay.
Well, he did a DX match. They did a match with DX, and the Vince's head was in Big Show's ass, and Shane was
there. Maybe 6-7 years. Okay,
that was like eight or nine years. So it wasn't 12. That's all.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
12. Okay, well, okay.
I'm nitpicking. Right. It's nitpicking, isn't it?
He hadn't been around for a while. Suffice to say,
he hadn't been around for a while.
So,
Nor should he want a job to him.
Well, his return, people popped for his return. It was a massive pop. It was great to see Shane back on TV. And here you have the McMahons on TV once again. And when he left the company, it was done so in a way where he just kind of all of a sudden just kind of drifted off into the sunset without any fanfare whatsoever. Perhaps even echoing what had been going on in real life. As a shoot. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And so this was a very interesting year for the McMahons, to say the least.
Weird stuff, and just to add a tagline onto that, and tagline, just to add another point. I mean, you know, Shane should have sold it the Monday after. If, you know, Bill Watts would have been, I mean, you have to walk out there. You can't even walk out there. He shouldn't have been on the show for 2 weeks, or if they wanted him on the show that bad to set up the draft, he should have been in the hospital saying, oh my God, I can't breathe. But I'll tell you this, you know, but no, to walk out there is just, you know, it's really, egotistical
to me. No, it's, it made no sense. There goes all conventional logic. You know, a guy that has walked away from the industry comes back, supposedly he's been training, you show the training videos. The thing that disappointed me is that he wasn't chasing a chicken like his father did years ago.
That was awesome. The outtakes of that are funny too, if you ever catch him. Like, he can't, he's like, well, I don't want the chicken move, Jesus. Move work, you need to work.
Right. So we move from the McMahons and the return of a McMahon to the return of the Undertaker. And so the Undertaker had a very interesting year. He comes back for this special match at WrestleMania. And then he comes back right before Survivor Series during the 900th episode of SmackDown Live. Mm-hmm. And he's not to be seen at all. I mean, after that, he's just kind of disappeared. You know, what do you think is going to happen with the Undertaker? Dare I say, speculation on his 2017?
I have a bad feeling that they're going to set up Bray Wyatt and Orton against Taker and somebody, so Taker can really take it easy and get it. You know, but it's hard for him to keep going out there. And I'd always heard Orton Taker. You can kind of see where everyone else is lining up. And I'm really surprised we haven't seen more progress towards where WrestleMania is really headed. You know, obviously Goldberg Lesnar looks, you know, let's just pray they do Goldberg Lesnar and they've dropped the idea of Shane Lesnar. You know, I don't know where Taker's going. I'm assuming it's still Taker Orton. Like, who could it, would it be Taker AJ?
Could be, you know, he did say, Undertaker did say in a promo that he will no longer be defined by his WrestleMania and by WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, that's just not true.
Right. You know, but one would think that he would be back for the Royal Rumble and do something important. So
maybe, probably not.
Yeah. Well, Undertaker's return, much ballyhooed, very interesting. I did not feel like he let us down during WrestleMania. I think he did the very best with what he had to deal with. But it's always good, and it's always a highlight to see the dead man on TV. And he did look like he was in good shape, and there were so many rumors surrounding him because he'd been in crutches or something of that nature.
He looked bad on a lot of them.
Still looks pretty damn good. So
he does, but he looked bad in those pictures. And you know, he's an older guy. And I think, you know, being with the young girl all the time makes him look older. If you don't mind me saying, because all these pictures, he's there like, oh, geez, he's on a crutch. Let's the hair go white. And then you got, you know, Blondie next to him.
Well, then you saw him backstage at an NBA game.
That was sad. Now that I know that, you know, what had actually happened, I mean, that is sad.
Looking for LeBron James.
And LeBron wouldn't see him. LeBron, did I talk about this on the show?
We did talk about it.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't do that. You know, LeBron would love to meet The Undertaker in private, but if you're trying to make a press thing where you run it into LeBron, hey, and that was just sad to me, having full makeup on, and I don't know. And to me, that told me that he was always in cahoots, cool with the company all along, because who would do that? Mm-hmm. Who would do that? I never bought it.
The wrestling world was turned upside down at the beginning of the year when it was found that AJ Styles would be coming to the company. Was it not?
Well, it turned me upside down that AJ Styles and Nakamura would be coming. Look what those two guys have done. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've proven that New Japan was the superior product for years now. Nakamura comes in from New Japan, basically is the most over wrestler in the U.S., basically. Mm-hmm. AJ Styles comes in. He has the best matches, main events in the U.S., stayed over despite countless jobs. They come from New Japan and do that. New Japan stays, has Kenny Omega inserted into AJ Styles' spot, and he was actually better. I'm just going to keep it real. He's not a better technical wrestler, but everything else about him is better. And then Tetsuya Naito, fit into Nakamura's position, and I'm actually a bigger mark for Naito now than I was for Nakamura before. So it's all about New Japan. T- to me, you know, and they proved that AJ and Nakamura. I don't love how they tried to book AJ. I still don't like what they do, but you can't deny the year he's had.
No, he's definitely a contender for Wrestler of the Year and or MVP that we'll talk about in part two of this episode. But, you know, an interesting time. WWE has been looking for ways to not only gain subscriptions, but also gain audience and in so many different ways, take the best from other promotions and adopt it to their promotion, to steal their viewership or to grow their viewership. Some would say, especially as we merge, or we get into emerging markets like, Asian markets, for example, where they're touring. Nakamura has just been absolutely, you know, as good as he is. And we know that, you know, they've been holding him back in the WWE from accomplishing greatness, utter greatness, because he's not on the big show.
Right.
But it's phenomenal what they've done with him. And it is not phenomenal, pardon the pun, of what they've done with the remainder of the rest of Bullet Club, sans Finn Balor.
They have to. I heard Conan, my new favorite podcast, one of my two. The other one's a Bruce Pritchard one. He said he's got to have heat. I'm at the Bullet Club guys. They have Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows have to have heat for what's happened to them. And let me tell you something, Carl Anderson. I've seen him do tremendous main events in Japan, and what they've put him in is just, you know, garbage. Gallows is fine little brawler. Good tag wrestler guy. Anderson, incredibly talented, and they haven't done anything with him. I mean, they had so much heat coming out, and they just squelched him.
Well, I think part of that is what leads me to this next situation, which is the tag team titles, and the never-ending reign of a New Day. And why is that, Steve?
Because Bill Eadie is smart. And knows that he can, you know, Bill Eadie of Demolition, the tag champions for over 400 and whatever days they hold the record. Bill Eadie is suing. He's part of a huge concussion thing that, by the way, will go nowhere now because of what we talked about earlier. They won't let it get far. Yeah, they have their hands on the levers of power. It's almost in their very hands. It's just a matter of days now. And New Day signifies us, you know, us WWE putting it to him. This will teach you for doing this to us. And I got to be really honest. Bill Eadie wrestled a whole lot of places. He really did. In Japan, he was a tremendous heel in Japan. And a lot of other spots. And, you know, yes, Demolition was big. What was Demolition around, 88 to 91? That's really a fraction of his. That's maybe 20% of his career, maybe 15% of his career. So I don't know if I would feel morally justified in suing if I were him. But maybe he's trying to make a statement. Who knows? But that's why New Day's freaking gotten stale. Because if they would have lost the titles to the Bullet Club, and the Bullet Club would have garnered a lot of heat from it, continued winning and went on a winning streak, New Day won it back. That's how that's supposed to work.
Yeah, it's doesn't look good. However, that last report, the class action lawsuit filed against the WWE on behalf of over 50 wrestlers will have a status conference January 12th. And the original lawsuit was filed in July. So we shall follow that story. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming from that. How about the exodus of numerous superstars from WWE going back into independent wrestling? For example, Cody Rhodes making a lot of headlines. Ryback left also during that time, shortly after WrestleMania. Bad News Barrett left during that time. Cody Rhodes making waves, writing a list of competitors he would like to wrestle in the independent leagues. as he's not, as the creative wasn't finding anything for him. I think that has turned out to be a really good thing for Mr. Cody Rhodes. Not so much for Mr. Aaron Rex, aka Damian Sandow, also in that fraternity of, talent leaving around that certain time of the year. What are your thoughts on how these former WWE talents are faring in the independents?
Well, I hear that Alberto Del Rio is doing really good. I hear he just beat up a pizza delivery driver. So that's a good.
That was also
I'm just
part
kidding.
Of that.
I'm just kidding. He beat up one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's actually not a joke.
Well, that is a recent headline too.
I mean, a pretty significant beating, from what I understand. Go ahead.
I was going to say, since you brought it up about Alberto Del Rio and Paige,
right?
They were involved, reportedly. Jason Powell reports from ProWrestling.net. Alberto was reportedly involved in a backstage fight with Ninja Turtle Raffy, a.k.a. Alan Extreme, at an IWRG show on Sunday in Mexico.
Right.
And there was a tweet message, I think, that Alberto had said on Twitter indicating that the fight was due to Paige being touched inappropriately. And he says, quote, and this is Alberto Del Rio, Viva Del Rio on Twitter. Just to clarify, if you inappropriately touch my fiance in front of my face, you have to prepare to learn our lesson. Hashtag respect.
Well, so, okay. You know, without sounding whatever, I don't know. I'll just state this. I've heard that, you know, the locker rooms in Mexico are a lot different. I'm not saying this actually happened. I don't know. I do know that Del Rio has a hair trigger, man. He'll just remember a few months ago he got stabbed in the head or something.
Yeah. That's why he no-showed over at a AAA event, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, we're saying it wrong, and I've just noticed this. It's actually pronounced AAA.
Is that right?
I'm serious. I didn't know this till maybe a month ago. Triple A is how they call it down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, weird, huh? But Yeah. I know the Conan podcast. He kept saying, "I'm like, oh man, I've been saying it wrong." But well, obviously everybody else thought that because they just said Triple A. If we could
get back, gringos,
right? Well, I'm a rudo. If I could backtrack a little bit,
he's a rudo. I'm the technical. Go ahead.
Technical, right? I would have joined Los Gringos Locos. That would have been fantastic. Right. Like when Conan starts telling stories, like, I was in a strip club with Jake the Snake and Los Gringos Locos. It's like, oh no. This is bad already. So Rhodes leaving, you know, he has the most confidence in himself, just like his father. And, you know, had matches with all kind of cool guys. And, you know, he's in the Bullet Club, the real Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be at Wrestle Kingdom, and he's going to be fighting Chase Owens in a squashy type of match, probably. So that'll be Cody's debut in New Japan. Mm-hmm. And pretty cool addition to the Bullet Club, got to say. Del Rio never really did anything yet. He pissed off Triple A, so that probably wasn't a good idea. I don't really believe the stabbing story. I don't care if he has pictures. You know, who else is out there? I think it was good for all the guys to leave. I think Sandow was going to, I mean, Sandow was released. Let's get that straight. He wasn't, he didn't quit. They released Sandow. Cody quit. You know, Wade obviously wanted to go. Rybotch quit. You know, Rybotch has a podcast basically where he was talking about why he left, and you know, then he kind of ran out of things to talk about. I did see him, they were trying to throw out rumors that Ryback was going to be the American guy jumping to the Bullet Club in Japan. It's like, that's not going to happen. I guess for some of them it was smart, for some of them, whatever, it was a risk. I don't know.
Well, it is cool to see the newest member of the Bullet Club, like I said, like you said, actually, Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, which I actually like. I love the fact that they did that. The fact that they didn't do that in WWE is such a missed opportunity, right? I mean, is it not?
But they did that in WCW, NWO, when Dusty Rhodes joined the NWO and he was the American Nightmare. It's so true. That's interesting.
True. It's true. But, you know, once again, just another missed opportunity. We got nothing for you. We've got nothing for you. Thanks,
Greg. Well, they screwed him up. They had an opportunity with him. And one of the last things he'll ever have done for them, I think, is the Edge and Christian show.
Mm-hmm.
Justin is talking about the hand job thing and the type of makeup he wears. He was really funny. And they just didn't take advantage of that like they should have. They really did. His long-ass note he wrote on Twitter or whatever he posted was very telling of their issues over there. And, I mean, they don't have a lot of people over.
Right. I mean, we thought that there would, you know, and you and I both agreed that, albeit hyped, Damian Sandow, you know, once again, TNA didn't do a whole lot with those talents, still, you know, they're still kind of floundering, but what I can tell you.
Right.
Is that, there are a lot of talent still at TNA doing well. TNA always in the headlines in 2016. One could even argue that as crazy of a year it has been for TNA, this has been one of their best years ever for bringing fun back into professional wrestling, according to Forbes posted. Can you believe this? Forbes magazine posting about professional wrestling. Matt Hardy bringing fun back to professional wrestling in this headline.
Forbes?
Yeah, Forbes of all things.
I don't know what to tell you. How did that happen?
I don't know, but it says, according to Donald Wood, who's a writer for Forbes, it says here in the first graph, in the modern age of the internet, it's easy to become jaded, but TNA star Matt Hardy is doing his best to make watching professional wrestling fun again with his over-the-top performances on Impact Wrestling on Pop TV every Thursday. So they got to love that fact. Of course, the final deletion, delete or decay, the Great War, and now Total Nonstop Deletion airing on TNA on the 15th, just a couple days away at the time that we're recording this show. Expect the Broken Brilliance to save this particular show from being deleted from my DVR. So
I would say that 89% of anything Matt did this year I liked. I mean, that's pretty
high. It's a high percentage rate, even for you.
And think about all the things he did.
I love the Christmas sweater. The Christmas sweater was good.
The lightning striking him. I mean, it was like kind of reminded me of Friday the 13th, 4 or 5. Where it's like how is that going to happen? You're going to get struck by lightning and come back from the dead. But that, I just thought that was funny. God, everything he did, the Lake of Reincarnation and Vanguard 1. The parties, the different types of funny party. He always wants to put on a fun party, right? You know, what did he do for Thanksgiving? He wanted to have a,
well, he had the big
ice cream,
the ice cream social,
ice cream social. And
he had the petting zoo, which was great, with a boxing kangaroo, which is amazing.
I, you know, obviously the lawnmower sequence is the holy grail of his work, but I mean, it really
was orgasmic.
Smoking Joe the Kangaroo is one of my favorite scenes, because I think kangaroos are really scary. I think Jeff has actually done a pretty admirable job in his position.
He's done a great job.
He's done some silly acting here and there, but yeah, I thought he played really. I don't know. I will tell you this: when I watched the final deletion, I was like, oh no, Jeff lost. You know, they actually kind of got me in a weird way. I was like, oh no, Jeff lost to Matt, you know, which is pretty hard for me to actually care or do that, you know,
right?
Like when Naito dropped to Kenny Omega, I was like, no, no, I wanted Naito to win. It's very rare for me to do that.
I think it's great. I love the Brooklyn Brilliance. And I think that is a shining light into TNA, who has had so many problems this year in terms of ownership that has recently gotten cleared up. Billy Corgan.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Corgan taking over creative. Billy Corgan taking over the company as president on paper, only to be denied ownership after injecting tons and tons of money in terms of being a loan shark, a predatory lender, is the verbiage used in the Nashville courtroom. Carter's legal team. predatory lender, trying to keep people afloat. Billy Corgan also, over this past week and a half, being interviewed by one Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net in a tell-all shoot interview, which was amazing. I told you about that, talking about and being very open and discussing the terms of the relationship between he and former friend Dixie Carter. Amazing to hear. Amazing. I tell you all to seek out this interview because Billy's pretty heartbroken about this whole thing.
I got to tell a personal story, and I won't say who the person is. I was working with someone, and this person was a big Smashing Pumpkins fan, but not a big wrestling fan. And he said, I saw him in the bar in Nashville. He said, oh, wait, before they said the place I work at, I said, oh, I loved Gish. It really helped my whole thing out, blah, thing. He's like, oh, thanks, man. And he said about a week later, he was still in that. He saw him at a bar in Nashville. He said, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. So there were 10 wrestlers around him. One of them was yelling and screaming about Obama and, you know, all this kind of quasi-racial stuff, you know, and said, I couldn't figure out why Billy was hanging out with him. And I said, did that person look like this? And I showed a picture of a certain TNA wrestler. And he said, that's the guy. I said, buddy, you don't get it. Billy Corgan is involved. Billy Corgan is heavily involved with this wrestling company. He might actually buy them. And this guy's mind is blown. As a matter of fact, if you had a time machine, you went back, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And you said, did you say did an interview with Sean Radican, Powell? Who did he do the shit with?
Jason Powell tell-all interview.
Okay,
literally
okay.
A couple days after the court hearing.
So I go in a time machine to 2009 and I see myself and I go, hey, Steven, this is the Steven from 2016. Big news. I got an exclusive shoot interview with Billy Corgan. And I go, what? About what? You see what I mean?
Right.
A shoot interview with Billy Corgan about what?
Crazy.
Well, you know, TNA closing down. It's like, what? What's going on in the future? And I'm like, oh, you got some more weird stuff coming up. Trust me.
Right.
Look out for that 2016, buddy. That's what I'll tell me.
Well, there is more, and there will be more. It seems to me that Billy Corgan might be striking on his own to start up yet another wrestling type of promotion with a production company from former production guru. Oh, shoot. Now the name escapes me. I had everything in my head.
Vince Russo.
No. Not Vince Russo.
Ed Ferrara.
Not Ed Ferrara. No.
John, you've obviously lost your train of thought. I just wanted to make a quick aside and say how much I enjoyed listening to us do a match by match review of Uncensored 2000 and WCW.
That was good, wasn't it?
That was the most obnoxious thing we've ever forced people to hear. And I apologize. Yeah. And it is my idea. And I
No. Don't apologize for it because I enjoyed it.
Because listen, when I listen to the show, I started listening to I know what the promo of the week, okay, if I'm listening back to the show on the podcast, I'll listen back to it, but you know, it's promo of the week, I'm like, oh yeah, the promo of the week's at the end, I've already heard this promo because we listened to it to discuss what to use. But I did listen to the promo of the week because that Yappapaya strap match promo is something else, man.
That is a strange
man. That is a strange man.
Plus, I put the Yappapaya strap match remix on the show too.
There were multiple Yappapaya strap match things happening on our show last week, and I apologize to everyone.
We also have the return of women's wrestling.
Return.
The return. I'm sorry. We have the resurgence of women in wrestling. The Divas Revolution, whatever you want to call it, the Women's Revolution, and the return of the Women's Championship, now split into two different brands, SmackDown and Raw, and Paige being left out of it, which coincidentally, she had, fallen off the deep end and had gotten suspended from WWE as a result of not being used in this Women's Revolution. She feels, according to Total Divas, by the way, that she's not part of it, which is a damn shame because Paige could really contribute. But having said that, the Women's Revolution has been a very interesting thing because it went from being, women being kind of thought of as an afterthought to being main events. And I told you before the end of the year, I think I said, mark my words, they're going to have a pay-per-view event headlined by a woman, and they did.
Yeah, that was the only bad women's thing of the year to me, though, was that match. I want to quickly.
It was difficult, yes.
I want to quickly say, though, Paige wasn't part of the revolution because she wasn't good enough. She's just not on the same level of the four horsewomen and Asuka. She's just not on the level of those wrestlers, Becky.
Did you not like any of the stuff that she and Emma did back in NXT before all this stuff happened when they got brought up?
I have really high standards. I'm really difficult to impress. I'm not trying to. This is as smarky as I can get. But I mean, you got to be really good for me to say, because if it's not quite awesome, I don't care.
Mm.
3.5-star match don't cut it for me, Buster. Unless it's like a guy like, you know, if somebody's like Jimmy Valiant or Ernie Ladd, you know, I'm gonna watch anything, and the match doesn't even matter.
I think you may be a little harsh, because I feel that you're only as good as the competition, right? You can, no matter how technically proficient you are as a worker, you can do your best to elevate. And a lot of people do, but unless you're, you know, I think there is something to be said about that pairing. You know, not everybody's a Shawn Michaels, unfortunately, or a Chris Jericho for that matter.
A brat. I mean, Shawn Michaels was a brat.
Yeah, but he's damn good. I mean, he makes everybody, you know.
He's not as good as Nick Bockwinkel.
That's true. Nick Bockwinkel is not up there.
And because wrestling is more than, you know, wrestling is a whole bunch of stuff. And that's what I'm getting at. Paige just doesn't have it for me. She's not off the chart like that. And they knew that. So they said, we're going to push Charlotte very hard. We're going to eventually push Sasha. We got this girl Bailey on deck, and we got Becky's their friend. We could kind of put her on SmackDown and make it everything. And we got this Asuka from Japan. She can train and speed NXT. Those five are the shit. You don't need, I mean, she just didn't fit into the kick ass. I'm going to have a 4.5-star match mold. Sorry. She's a 3-star wrestler.
The one would say AJ Lee left at the right time, didn't she?
AJ Lee is, you know, AJ, what, okay. Okay, let me get real, real with you.
Okay, go for it.
Who cares about AJ Lee? What, she was a very terrible, I mean, what was she good at? Looking, run, jumping around like a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a strumpet? You know,
like she's a Jezebel.
No, that's baby doll is a Jezebel.
Baby doll is a Jezebel.
And let me just tell you, AJ Lee has nothing on the baby doll as far as getting heat or being involved in angles or being a worker or slapping people so hard their jaw breaks like she did to Jim Cornette. You know, I have a high standard. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. And they've reached that standard in the last 2 years. He's in America, finally. You know, they've done it for years in Japan. Now they're doing it here. And that's because they're allowing Sasha Banks to do Eddie Guerrero type of stuff, her role model, and allow her, you know, let him go. Yeah.
Well, along the lines of the women's revolution, last but not least, the rise of independent wrestling. And the spotlight has been put on these independent wrestlers. Battle for Los Angeles has been amazing. The stuff going on at Ring of Honor has been also equally as amazing. And a lot of great characters that once again are being courted by WWE putting into NXT. Same goes for TNA to some degree as well, with Bobby Roode and guys like Eric Young, Samoa Joe. You know, who knew that we would have Kevin Owens vying for the Universal Championship alongside the likes of Tyler Black, aka Seth freaking Rollins.
The Universal Championship.
Yeah.
What is the Universal Championship? What is that?
It's a red belt. And then
the red belt. Yes.
Yeah, the strawberry jam belt.
I love that cake. Yeah.
And who knew that maybe an independent wrestling darling rising up from the likes of jobbing to a Braun Strowman would be one of the most over characters in SmackDown, whom you don't like,
no.
Mr. James Ellsworth.
Well, it's stupid. It's just stupid, and I hate him, and he's a loser and a lech, and he'll be exposed for who he is.
Oh, my goodness.
For the garbage and the squalor that your lives are. See, that was doing an Andy Kaufman promo just now. He was a great promo guy.
That was pretty good.
Ellsworth was fine for a couple of weeks. They overplayed their hand on that. They don't have a lot of ideas. They can do that if they want. I don't really like the world champion jobbing to a jobber. You know, Watts would do that. You know, Watts would have the guy distracted and the jobber. He beat Ted DiBiase for the Louisiana heavyweight belt. I remember. But you know, he wouldn't lose to him three times. He would like beat the shit out of him for it. He would do this. He would do that. I mean, they just don't do anything right, Al John. I don't know what to tell you. The bookers of WWE.
Well, one of the viral independent matches.
Yes.
To go was, Will Ospreay and Ricochet.
Well, that wasn't an independent match. That was a match.
That's right.
That was a match. And that's a misconception. And I know you, that's from the New Japan, Cup.
Yeah, that's right. That's from the Super J Cup, right? Or the juniors.
I'm sorry. The Super J Cup is where that's from. The Super Juniors was.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
It's twice now that I've gotten confused over that.
I still think we might be wrong right now. But look, I saw the match. It wasn't a 5-star match. It was certainly a 4-star match. And really what it seemed like, Vader and some other people, there were some other people that were dogging it. It wasn't just Vader. Who was the other guy?
Jim Cornette.
Cornette. You know what they were you know, Jim Cornette's just an overbearing prick, you know. He just, you know, talking bad about Kenny Omega. Does he realize how good Kenny Omega is at promos, not just matches and everything he does? But, you know, the point was Vader, who, you know, I hear now Vader has 2 years to live. I hear now that Vader's been a drug. I gotta tell you, I don't believe him. What do you think of that?
Wow, man. All I'm going to say is that, good luck, Vader. That's all I'm going to say. And best wishes. Hopefully, hopefully things work out for you.
But when you go to the doctor and you're 62 and you're that overweight, they're going to say, you're not going to live another 2 years unless you get all this stuff done, unless you change all these things about your life. Mm. I'm sure that's what he told him. Mm. You know, he's a baby. That's what he is.
So.
And Will Ospreay had the job to him at Rev Pro. I mean, I guess you could call Rev Pro an independent, yes. Although it's definitely the biggest thing in the United Kingdom right now. I mean, Rev Pro is something we should talk about. Zack Sabre, Marty Scurll, Will Ospreay, the whole advent of this.
Right. Well, that's the point I was trying to get to is that, you know, it is the year of independent wrestling along with the women, in wrestling. You had, the Marty Scurlls, you had Zack Sabre, you had Adam Cole. To some degree, even Ricochet, doing great stuff back and forth between that and Lucha Underground. I mean, it's pretty awesome what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. What a great time to be a professional wrestling fan with the likes of the WWE Network catching all these, great matches on YouTube or on proprietary services like, the Fight Network or, even something like, what is that new thing that they have, going on?
I forget the name of it. The new thing is the best thing to get. I can't remember. Flow Sports?
Flow Slam.
Yeah. That's the best thing to get. Now, it's a little pricey. It's 20 a month.
It is expensive.
But, and you can get a deal on, I think it's 15 a month if you do a year, but, that you'll see some of your best stuff on that. You'll see I would say Evolve and PWG are the two best independents you could see. This is Progress is very good too. They just had a Progress show and the crowd chanted "fuck Meltzer." I don't know what happened. They must have been upset at Meltzer. Meltzer was hurt too.
I'm sure the young folks can console him.
Hey Conrad, I defended Conrad to Meltzer. Did I tell you this on Twitter? No, and he responded. No. Okay, so I love Conrad.
Conrad Thompson, the producer for the sometimes available Ric Flair show and the oftentimes available show, wrestling with, intent. What the hell was that one?
Something to wrestle with.
Oh,
and occasionally he'll do the, Ric Flair show. So, you know, Pritchard is constantly talking bad about Meltzer and, You know, and I was calling him my father for a very long time. I think a lot of the people that listen to the show thought it was very funny, you know, until I realized recently that he was a liberal. But, oh, so sorry.
We went there. You went there.
I'm totally kidding. I think anyone with a political affiliation is very, very strange. I will be. I hate both parties very much. But you know, he kept tweeting about the election. Okay. So Dave, he's like, Hillary won the popular vote. And I'm like, that's great. Look, could you just a question about Ronnie Garvin's title run? He argues, loves to argue on Twitter. And then I tweeted, I love you, man. Please stop talking about the election stuff. This is really, nobody wants to, the election's over. Everybody's tired of it. And, to his credit, he stopped right after that. He didn't actually respond to me, but he did stop after that. Now, the other day, the surly liberal, Meltzer, I'm saying liberal, that's not a diss towards anyone who's a left-wing person. That's a diss towards Meltzer.
We have all types of people listening to this program,
right.
Stephen.
Right.
Don't alienate half of our audience.
I'm not alienating them. What I'm saying is that liberals are wrong. No, what I'm saying is that Meltzer wanted to promote this so much when we just really care about wrestling with him. That's why I'm calling him that. Do you understand? I voted for Jill Stein. I think I pointed that out to everyone, didn't I? That I went to the... I voted for Jill Stein. I'm a member of the Green Party. So he, in continuing his shirt, this story has really gotten awkward, hasn't it?
It's gotten awkward. I might have to edit some of this, so go ahead.
Oh God, he's editing me again. So to continue with his Shirley mood, and I'm not making, I earlier said that Donald Trump was going to put people in camps. I think that was pretty negative towards the right wing thing, wouldn't you say?
I would say yes.
Okay, well, there you go. I've been unbiased, obviously, with my hate. So Conrad says, I'm sorry. Somebody says, hey, you could do like Conrad suggested on something to wrestle with and do a joint show with Conrad, you know, and Pritchard. And you could like, you know, argue with Pritchard because Pritchard talks bad about him a lot on the Something to Wrestle With podcast. Mm. To which Meltzer, like, who was just kind of tagged in the post, says, I don't want to be a part of a clown show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Conrad said, that's hurtful, which I thought was a great comeback. Because Conrad's like a very wealthy businessman in Huntsville, Alabama. And he's like, well, that's hurtful. Because he always defends Meltzer and is a big-time reader like myself.
Right.
And he said, oh, I wasn't talking about, he kind of backtracked. He's like, no, I wouldn't. Trying to be negative towards you. I was just saying it would be a concert for me to argue with him. And then I tweeted to Conrad. I guess Uncle Dave doesn't know that Conrad spent more money on spilt liquor in Huntsville bars than he made last year. And he thought it was very funny. And he said, this made me laugh out loud. So I do appreciate the support. I have your back, Conrad. I'm sorry this happened.
You should invite Conrad to the show, and we can show him what a real professional operation Pro Wrestling Cast really is. consider that an open invitation there, Conrad. We appreciate that. It has been a really interesting year for professional wrestling. I think this has been a very interesting year in professional wrestling. A lot of things going on. The world is ever changing, ever growing. And the more things grow and change in the world of professional wrestling, there is one constant, and that is Vince McMahon will not listen to the public. So. So we'll see what 2017 brings to the world of professional wrestling. We'll be watching it with eyes wide open and ears wide open and ready to pounce on it and give you this news and commentary as much as we can and as much as we can help it. Wrapping up, Stephen, what is your final thoughts on the year 2016?
I, you know, I, it was crazy. It was really crazy. And the I want to say this, I really mean this, the worst thing that happened to me this year, and as you know, I had skin cancer this year.
Right.
And the worst thing that happened to me, that, I don't think I've ever said that on this show, but the worst thing that happened to me this year, was what happened in Gatlinburg. And it, you know, I really am upset. And, I hope everybody, you know, actually donates his money.
Yeah, Gatlinburg is like your second home.
It really is. And, you know, we were about to go, so I think we're going to put that off till the summer. But, and I promise you, the best way to help Gatlinburg is to go to Gatlinburg and spend money. Cause trust me, all they do is take cash. It's really kind of funny. If you've been there, I'm sure, and you've you got to give them cash.
We did spend a lot of cash on pancakes.
Like you want pancakes. You're like, no, it's cash, buddy. And it's like, oh, okay. But, it's an incredible community. I've thought about moving there, as you know. I just really couldn't figure out what I would do. You know, I'd probably have to work one of those downtown places, which didn't probably jive with the amount of money I spend every week. But,
as a carny, promoting independent wrestling in Smoky Mountains.
Yeah. You know, and they do that there, but,
they do.
The Gatlinburg fires really, really struck home hard. And, I'm glad so many people donated. So many people donated in Nashville, the church we were bringing stuff to, that they actually just stopped taking donations. So I just wanted to make everyone aware that Gatlinburg is a beautiful place, and to visit it and to give people your money. And Dolly Parton, I can't say enough good about this woman. And that's just something personal I wanted to say about 2016. I'm really taken aback by the Gatlinburg fires. I thought our aquarium had burned down. Yeah. And if I wasn't crying when I thought that had happened, I'd be lying.
Well, it's just another thing, you know, folks, parents, mind your children. Make sure that they don't do things like this, you know, tremendous loss of life, nature, animals, you know, seeking refuge. A lot of extraordinary people and businesses lost, and definitely, you know, spend time in Gatlinburg, and they are great people. Tennessee is a very, very resilient, state, and we have a lot of resilient people and hardworking people and great people. And that's why I love Tennessee so much. So I echo that. We stand with Gatlinburg, and we stand with Dolly as well, because she's a great humanitarian and a great ambassador for the state of Tennessee. And, I think that's a wonderful thing. Definitely. I will say this. I hope, 2016 was a very interesting year for me personally, but I look forward to the promise of a great 2017. And I hope everybody is able to, be elevated to some degree and rise up and be better off than they were in years previous. So I'll leave it at that. What a great show, Stephen. We appreciate it. Don't forget to check out me at JediMouseketeer.com and Aljon Rocks on Twitter, Jedi Mouseketeer on Twitter. Stephen, where can people follow you?
My new Twitter name is Sugar Hair. I'm at Dr. Deathmark. You'll find me with the cover photo of Naito giving a hat to Kamatachi.
And I will say this, we've got, Nakamura, AJ Styles, Naito,
here,
Daniel, Bryan to some degree, The Miz, John Cena, Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka. You know, there's so many great names in professional wrestling. Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre, Cruiserweight Classic. We didn't even mention that. There's so many great things about this year. Even Chris Sasha Hero. Banks and her wedgie of the year, Chris Hero and his big self and the Hardys. You know, there's so many great things about this year. It's been absolutely crazy, but we look forward to 2017. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your year, and don't forget to suck your head. Nick Bockwinkle mentioned in this episode.
The reason you didn't win the Royal Rumble match is because of me. And the reason you lost your Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania was because of me. And the reason you didn't win the Money in the Bank ladder match was because of me. So do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do everyone here a favor. And let's put an end to this once and for all at Battleground.
You stand there, and you talk about how I ruined our friendship. You know who ruined our friendship? It was you. It's your fault. It is. Because everything we've done since we've met was all to get to WWE, wasn't it? We fought together, we fought against each other, was always in the hopes of making it here. So when WWE came calling, and you signed here a year and a half before I did, was I upset that you didn't wait for me? Was I upset that you made the right move for your career? No, I was happy for you, just like you should have been happy for me when I finally got to WWE and won the NXT title. But you weren't happy. No, you were furious. And why? Because my success came at your expense? What kind of friend does that make you, Sammy? You know what that proves? That proves that in the end, I was always a better friend to you than you were to me. But you know what? None of that matters now, because you want to settle this at Battleground. You want to go one more time at Battleground. You got it.
A huge match, a money-making match between the two of you. Not as big as what I'm going to be doing at Battleground, because I'm Chris Jericho, right? But just the fact that you got to announce this match on my show, the fact that you're both in the ring with me, put you both on a different level. You're welcome. And on top of that, I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give all of you cretins something else. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. Sit back as I give you the gift of Jericho. Drink it in, man. Well, you know what? If that's how you really feel, maybe we don't have much of a friendship to begin with. Because every week it's the same thing. RKO, pedigree, spear. You're never there when I need your help. You're never there to have my back week after week after week. You know what, Owens? I know who's at fault for us losing at Survivor Series last night.
So do I.
Yeah, I do too.
I know
exactly who it was.
Why don't you say who it is?
You want me to say it?
Say it.
You want me to say whose fault
it
was?
Say it.
You know, I'm letting you to say it. I'm disgusted by this. I'm finished with this conversation, and Kevin Owens, I'm finished with you.
No. I'll tell you whose fault it is. Roman Reigns!
Oh, goodness.
That's what best friends are for. Toronto, Canada tonight, otherwise known as...
You're right, man. This is all I have. This couple minutes a night, 300 nights a year, this is my everything. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone when they know that I live for this. This is what I love. But you know what? Sometimes things you love don't always love you back. And you can give, 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 and sometimes you get nothing in return. You get nothing. and you have friends and family and fans coming up to you telling you, why do you still do it? Why are you still here? Why do you subject yourself to this every night? It's because I can't stop. I can't. It's a sickness. I can't stop. And maybe my career didn't always turn out the way I thought it would, you know? I thought it would have been better. I thought I earned something. I thought I would be a bigger star, but you know what? I just can't stop myself. I can't, but you put that title up one more time. Listen to me, Miz! Put that title up one more time, and I'll put up my entire career.
Wait a second. Did you just say that you'll put up your entire career? Your entire career. And I'm not talking about when I beat you, that you go to Raw or NXT, that you take a 30-day sabbatical. You are done and out of WWE because of me.
Your title, my career. I either walk out champion or I'm done. Either way, I'll be out of my misery.
I am Smack Talker Skywalker, and I got a mic saber for a hater. And what do you know? We got a couple of haters. Couple haters. You two are so ugly. Tears run down the back of your head to avoid your face. They don't. We didn't come here to play no games. Devon, I see the way you're staring at us. Well, let me tell you something. You want to play games? I'll connect for that dull piece. I got the gift of gab and the gift of jab. And I'll put that lazy eye right back to work. I ain't done. Listen up, bub. You better think twice. It'd be two more thoughts than you had all day. Fall back like your hairline. Cause Big Cass will serve you two slop jalops any time of the day, breakfast like IHOP. Hit you with a haymaker, pancaker, and drop you like a deuce.
There's no gentle way to say it to me. You wrestle like a coward. You wrestle like somebody who's afraid to get hit.
Like, I wrestle like a coward.
You wrestle like a coward.
I'm the one.
If I were to create a wrestler who, to me, like embodies, like when I was an independent guy and I was thinking like, oh, okay, what's the soft WWE style? It would be that. WWE is transformed
Hold on. You had your chance to talk. You're the one that called me a coward in the wrestling ring. I'm the coward in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
But let's talk about cowards for 1 second. Okay. The reason I wrestle the way I wrestle is because I can do it day in and day out all the time for 10+ years. I have never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. and you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie friends?
Okay, I think you
then,
need to calm. That's not what this show's about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that calls me the coward, but you're the one that doesn't get in the WWE ring again. No, don't you walk away from me, Daniel. Don't you walk away. I'm the one that loves the fans. I'm the one that loves everyone and everything. You're the one that gets up and walks away every single time. You're the coward. I am not a coward. I am your Intercontinental Champion, and there's a reason I am the title. Reason making this the most relevant, prestigious title that WWE has, and I deserve the respect on SmackDown Live. Get that camera right here. Understand that this is day 141 of the never-ending Intercontinental Championship World Tour, and I swear to you, I promise you, it will be the most relevant title on SmackDown Live. I could care less about those little kids on for the tag team titles and the Women's Championship and the WWE Championship. This is my show! My show! And I'm sick of all of you, my GM, sitting there criticizing me, calling me the coward. You're the cowards. I'm the one here, day in and day out, in that wrestling ring, beating people up. Thank you very much.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.